Hi, and welcome to Health Coach Donna. Today I have Dr. Colleen Campbell. And Dr. Campbell helps smart people achieve more, be in their careers, their relationships, or those who just want to get unstuck. She's created Ignite Your Potential Center in San Francisco, which is actually number one on Yelp for life coaches and career coaches for the past 4 years. She also has centers in Santa Monica, where her coaches and counselors use innovative techniques and training to help people have more fulfilling careers and lives. We'll talk more about her website and where you can get in touch with her at the end of this conversation. But welcome, Dr. Campbell.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Donna. So I suppose, we have something we wanted to talk about today, but just to begin and share a little bit more about what I do with clients in San Francisco and what our coaches here and in Santa Monica do. When we're working with someone, whether it's life coaching or career coaching, we begin by looking at who a person is. Almost, you could say we step away from whatever the challenge, problem, or even goal is and take a moment to look at their personality and their strengths and their values and use this information then to move into our objectives or goals. So, if it's about career coaching, then from there we'll start to look at, what are all the things that need to be in place for them to thrive in a workplace, for example. But really, it starts with who they are. And we don't, in our busy lives, always take the time to do that, to step back and in a positive psychology kind of way, look at, who are we and how does that affect our goals and the things we want for ourselves. The topic that I'd love to talk about today is, what you can do when you're just feeling off. And this is one of, there are hundreds of different things that can come up in coaching, but this is one of them. So I thought, that would be a neat thing to talk about today, the kind of self-awareness around that.
That's a great idea, and I want to get more into the topic because what do you do? I mean, some days you feel like you're just rocking it and you are on and like everything is flowing beautifully. And then there are other days where it feels like for me personally, it feels like I'm moving through jello. Like I can't move fast enough. I can't get things done fast enough. And it feels like I'm just in this slow motion, or I just kind of feel like I'm not clicking it and I'm not rocking and I'm not going at my full potential.
Right.
So what's your perspective on that, and what happens when that's going on?
Well, first of all, I like the way that you described it, though. It's something isn't quite right. Even your timing might be off, in the experience of your timing. You might drop your keys. You might there are these things. We all have. What I've found is we all have different symptoms. I think the way you're describing it, a lot of people can relate to. But we all have, based on our personality and who we are, different ways of noticing this. And I suppose that's the first step, is there are times where people might not notice. They might not notice that they're off, but it tends to affect their whole day. So the first step is really about a kind of self-awareness and figuring out what those clues are for each one of us. I would say it's connected to emotional intelligence, being aware of what we're feeling and, what we're thinking. And so it's interesting to think how there's some mindfulness in that, right? There's noticing when, for some people it might show up like their thoughts are off, the way that they're viewing things in their world, the judgments they're making are not quite on point the way they normally are. For someone else, it could be emotional. They know that it's out of range. Something happens and they feel a lot more intense about it, or they're at work and suddenly feel like crying, where their emotions are bleeding through in a way that might not be appropriate. These can just be clues to not, and we could just call it being off, but that can mean a lot of different things for different people, but we're not firing on all cylinders.
Yeah. And so sometimes people just put that off as maybe I didn't sleep well, or maybe they didn't eat breakfast, or whatever. And we can put it to a physical, put reasoning behind it and physically. And maybe that is the case, and maybe that's why someone's feeling off. But what can you do about it? Like, how can you? I think first what you said is just having the awareness. and acknowledgement that, hey, I'm having an off day.
Exactly. And then, you know, it's interesting that you said the physical, because you're right. I mean, that could be, there could be some reasoning behind, you know, why they're not feeling on. But similarly, you know, if you were getting a cold and you noticed that, and of course, again, it shows up in all different ways, right? You might feel extra thirsty or have a feeling in the back of your throat or be more fatigued than normal. And we can usually, like when that happens, if we're in a healthy place, then we're going to make adjustments, right? Maybe drink more water, maybe slow it down, think about taking a nap that day if it's possible. You know, things that mm-hmm. maybe take a different set of vitamins or herbs that when we want to build up our immune system. But we don't always think about it the same way emotionally or, you know, if our thinking is off. We don't yeah. always have sort of a set of what, like a, knowing what we're going to do in that case.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we said first is about awareness and tuning into that and then doing something about it. Because what I've noticed, Donna, is that for some people, they actually do the opposite of what maybe they should then. You know, like if they're yeah. feeling off, maybe they act out a little bit. Maybe they, I don't know, drink more or, you know, eat the wrong foods or even have an attitude with themselves of like, well, come on, buck up, you know, like get with the program and right. push it, you know, or go try to go if they notice that. They're, as you describe, going slower, they try to go faster, you know? And what I found, it's actually the opposite of what we should do, you know? If you think of it, like if you have a child and you see that something's going on with them and they're acting this way, you're not going to push them to go faster
right.
or push them to do more, you know? Instead, you notice and think, okay, something's going on. Maybe we need to relax a bit more today. Maybe read a book. Read some books together, you know, do activities that are more easeful for them. And so similarly for ourselves, I have a blog post on this topic because it was helpful to create a list. Like these are the things you shouldn't do when you're feeling off, you know, and that would be make big decisions, you know, be hard on yourself in any way, you know, try to rally. You know, there are a whole set of things that I notice that sometimes people do. And then the other side of it is, you know, maybe it's a good time to take a bath or, you know, see if you can schedule a massage or get some acupuncture, for example. You know, that could be a good sign. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I need to maybe up my self-care.
Yeah, that's a good point because that's something that people don't naturally go to. And I don't know. I'm thinking male or female, you know, and men just get so busy at work and women do too. And then women can also be moms and they get really busy with work and kids. And then on both ends of the scale, people just don't take a minute for self-care. But it goes back to, I think what you said is that just that awareness of, hey, I'm off. What can I do about this?
And right. I think sometimes, small or large, right?
Yeah, but sometimes I think that's the big step for people. Like that's yeah. the part that they just ignore.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think, you know, we pay consequences for it if we do. You know,
yeah.
It's like more likely to get into an argument or, you know, just run into, it's like trying to go faster when you're feeling slow. It doesn't go well, you know?
No.
And so by being aware, you can take care of this rather than running into more trouble. But I think that's true, that it's in the awareness. One thought is, especially if we're busy, we don't have a lot of time, you know, there are some great meditation apps. It can be a great time because that's a way to check in even deeper, you know, to be able to take 5 minutes and do something like that. And then at the end, you know, one is more tuned in to make an assessment. Like, okay, what's going on with me? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I really need right now?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to, you know, like override it.
Yeah. And that's really great too, to slow down enough to ask yourself what's going on, because so many people look for outside for answers, but so often we can get that intuitive information of what's going on inside of us that,
right.
that could use some help.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And then, you know, maybe sometimes we do find the answer, meaning, you know, realizing like, yeah, I didn't really get enough sleep last night. But sometimes we don't even need to know, you
right.
know, if it's one of those, you know, it could be hormones, it could be any number of things. It could be fighting a cold. but really to be able to give oneself, you know, some of us are so busy that maybe it's not about, you know, you can't stop and go get a massage, but what could you do?
Right.
And it could be as simple as self-talk even, you know, mm-hmm. how do you talk to yourself when you're feeling off, you know, is it, you know, it really ought to be, I love the analogy of the child, right? If you have a child, or even if you don't have children, you can imagine if I gave you a child to watch, you know,
right.
and they were having a hard time, what are you going to do? You know, you don't push them more, you know, and I think that is an easier analogy for people to imagine the compassion they should bring to how they treat themselves and maybe how they're talking to themselves about it.
Well, I find that sometimes self-talk can be the worst talk. It can be the most judgmental and the harshest on ourselves of what we have going on in our brains, of really just kicking ourselves in the butt about not doing what we think we should be doing. And I remember somebody was saying, well, how would you talk to yourself if, you know, you were talking to your five-year-old self? Would you
yeah.
really talk to them that way? Or would you be more kind and compassionate? And that really made me think about, well, yeah, I wouldn't talk to a child or someone that I really cared about. If your friend was having a really hard day, I mean, you'd be compassionate and you'd listen and you'd give encouragement. But somehow we turn that off when we talk to ourselves. And somehow
right.
we got out of practice at a very young age of being kind to ourselves.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, that is a kind of self-awareness, really. I remember many years ago, I mean, it was in my early 20s when I read a book about this, and I was shocked to find that I didn't talk very kindly to myself on a regular basis.
Right.
But before that time, I didn't even know. It was just this running dialogue
right.
in my mind that I wasn't even being aware of.
Mm.
And it was really quite surprising. It's funny how these different ways we can get to know ourselves. And it's true to raise that awareness. And then, you know, in psychology, they call the inner dialogue introjects. And it's really, it's put in place by our families.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you could have a wonderful family and still develop a harsh inner dialogue, you know. But just to say that's, you know, there are different reasons why that might be intense. But we can start with affirmations or mantras. You know, it could be as simple as, you know, even though I'm having a hard time today and I don't even know why, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really okay, you know. And because we do know that even if you remove the emotional aspect out, even just logically, you're going to get more mileage out of, let's say, that child or your partner or yourself if you're kind
mm-hmm.
and caring and understanding and compassionate than bringing out the whips and chains to try and get more.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
That brings me up to another thought is sometimes we are not willing to be in the space of discomfort. And we want to be, we want to make things happy. We want to feel good. But I think that there's something to be said about acknowledging, you know, I just feel crappy today but it's okay. You know, it's okay to feel crappy and it'll pass. This will change. But being kind about that too, and not always trying to make ourselves feel happy because we're not going to be happy 24/7. We might be going through something really difficult, you know, a divorce or a death of a family member or, you know, anything like that too. I mean, it doesn't have to be that big. It can be just like your kid spilt milk all over the counter and made you all late today. And then your
totally.
Boss yells at you when you get to the office. And then, you know, your day just goes from crap from there. But, you know, I think sometimes we're too quick to try to just be happy. And not that you wouldn't want to get there and move, but sometimes that movement on that scale, the emotional scale, is, you know, is a step-by-step process.
Yeah, that's very astute. You know, the idea that even, be it, I think most of the time, unconscious, like of not wanting to feel, you know,
mm-hmm.
not liking the way we're feeling. You know, like you said, be it a mild, you know, uncomfortable day or feeling sad or, you know, be it something larger. You know, my son was at a party this last weekend and he had such a good time. And when we were leaving, he said, you know, I feel sad. And, you know, we talked about it. It's simple, right? It's not monumental, but it's like you had a really good time and you want to keep having a good time.
Right.
And it's sad, you know, when you have to leave. And so, you know, we talked about that. But I think you're right. If we're not paying attention, I know myself, you know, I'm going to move away from that. Whether it's, I don't know, getting, you know, something to eat I like or, you know, or whatever, moving. What we know is that the only way to really get through is through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we push aside our emotions or repress them or pretend they're not there, they grow. And that's where you get bleed through emotions, like, you know, feeling like crying at work or, you know, overreacting in a situation. There's really no easy way to get away from it all. It's true. You have to be present. And then you're more likely to greet that good feeling when it's there, you know?
Yeah.
But that's a really good point that it's not just that, you know, someone might want to get the most out of themselves. It might just be simply not liking to feel those feelings. One other thing I'd like to share about that too is that, you know, with this idea of being present, you know, with our feelings, that it's a way of, I guess I want to say, like, honoring ourselves, you know, being, knowing that, you know, we're going to have a range of emotions. And there's a theorist that lived 100 years ago during the time of Freud that talked about if we can't feel the deeper, darker things in our lives, then it actually limits our ability to feel the brighter things. Like, there's actually almost like an equal range. Like, the more you can be present with the shadow, you know, you can then really be present with the most spectacular moments in your life, the most ecstatic. I mean, those are also not a dime a dozen, right? But
right.
There's this idea that we can't, you know, some people can't handle the intimacy of those moments, you know? So, yeah. It's a really good point.
Yeah. This is awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I would love to, if you could just, if you could just give like two or three tips. I know you talked about meditation. Are there a couple other things that people could kind of use? Because not everybody meditates, or some people don't know how to meditate, or they might be, you know, feeling like they don't meditate well or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And often I tell people, you know, a simple meditation is just breathing and paying attention to your breath. So, it doesn't have to be perfect. So are there a couple other things that people might be able to kind of practice in advance? I always say that if you can put some of these things into your life on a regular basis, then they become tools in your toolbox, right?
Yeah.
So what are
That's
a couple
true.
Other
yeah.
things that people might be able to do that are really simple when they're just kind of feeling a bit off?
Absolutely. So, and I think that's so true, and it needs to be customized. Like, certain things appeal to certain people more. You know, meditation, when you think of meditation, there's active, like the discipline of sitting down and meditating, but mindfulness can happen. You know, you could go for a walk. You could go for a walk around the block and keep it simple, but if you can get into nature and really feel the experience of being there and smell the smells and hear the sounds. I mean, you can make a meditation out of that. But, you know, if you're not into that, you could just take a walk, you know, and be in nature. You know, a person could go to a museum or go to a movie. You know, in some way it's a way to distract oneself, but also maybe that's what you need. It's like being sick and deciding you're going to, you know, watch some TV shows. You know, it's not something you want to do all the time, but maybe sometimes we need just to be able to be
mm-hmm.
and relax and give ourselves a break, you know. It could be reading a book or listening to music that really soothes you.
Yeah.
You know, so these things, I mean, and I suppose asking oneself, you know, what do I need right now and what would be really enjoyable, you know. I think going into nature can be such a great one for just about anybody, you know, going to the beach. You know, for some people, though, that are more extroverted, it might be calling a friend, you know, asking for some emotional support, you know, going out with girlfriends or, you know, guy friends that, that can really, we know that can even shift our hormones, you know?
Yeah.
Doing things that bring ease, you know? So there are so many, there are so many different possibilities, but those are some, you know, that I think can be pretty easy, you know, being able to listen to music.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say one other thing, though, just to jump back to what we were talking about feelings and encountering your feelings. You know, it is so true that even not just on this topic of being off, but in our regular day-to-day life, one could say that there are many things people don't do because they don't like the feelings that come up in that moment. Mm-hmm. It's almost like asking a boss for a raise. You know, why do we hesitate? I mean, it could be not wanting to feel the fear that comes up in that moment, you know. And it can be true for so many things that we don't realize it, but we're moving away from the emotion that we don't want to feel. And I just want to encourage people that if you have the strength of emotion, the courage to feel whatever comes up in you, there's literally nothing you can't do. You know,
right.
It really is a way that it's just a feeling, you know,
yeah.
It can seem so big, but it, you know, whether it's grief or whether it's fear or, you know, you can find a way to walk through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great advice. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, so how can people, I know you wrote a blog on this topic, which goes into a little bit more detail. So people can find that at Ignite. Is it
Ignite Potential?
IgnitePotential.com.
That's right. They
okay.
can look at the blog posts. You could also Google what you can do when you're feeling off and it will come right up.
Okay.
Yeah. And they can read there. And then also, you know, through our website, you can schedule a complimentary session, 25 minutes on the phone with any of our coaches.
Oh, that's great.
To see if it's a good fit. So once they're there, if it's resonating, they can explore the website, read more about each and every coach, more about the center. And then if they'd like, schedule a phone call with one of us.
Oh, that would be great too, to just, if somebody wants to explore and grow in other areas, that coaching is always a great way to do it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we all have times in our life where it can be good to have a someone to walk alongside and explore how to meet those goals more efficiently.
Yeah.
And, you know, we help people with career and life goals and have quite a lot of success with our clients.
Oh, that's great. Well, again, it's ignitepotential.com. And mm-hmm. Dr. Colleen Campbell, thank you so much for being my guest today. I really, really appreciated it, and it was lots of fun.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Donna.